I have to warn you that it's not clear I can do this today because I'm getting pretty ill. I got a cold and it's getting worse. So if my voice dies and I dissolve in a fit of coughing, it's over. And probably till Thursday, but I'm going to give it a try anyway. Well, I'm not even going to try to predict what I'm going to get through today, okay? But I did want to talk about the basics about simplicial appreciation. And our homeopathy theory. Well, there's always sheep in the background. And always we're working over some small groat in the excite. Which, remember, that's a way of assigning some sort of formal topological construct to a category. You have a category C together with a class of what you call covering families and maps. And these covering families are supposed to satisfy some axioms, namely the identity map of the covering family. You can refine covering families, and you can pull back covering families and get a covering family. That's all I'm going to say. And when I say C is small, I mean that the morphism you see form a set. Okay. Now, of course, there's lots of examples in life. The example people usually try it out is the open subsets of the topological space. This is a category whose objects are open subsets of the topological space and covering families are, you guessed it, okay? This is one of the things that usually comes up in topology. Then, of course, there's a whole raft of algebraic geometric examples. This is a risky site for skiing up. And what that means is, well, it's defined really just like this. You take the open subschemes of a particular scheme, and the coverings are what you think they are. Just that now you're working with the heuristic topology instead of the standard topology in a topological space. And, of course, there's the Eitel topology of the scheme, flat topology of the scheme, the Nisnevich topology of the scheme, and I can go on and on. Most of the examples, as far as I'm concerned, come from algebraic geometry. There are also big sites. Let me put quotation marks around them. You can talk about all schemes over a fixed scheme S, meaning morphisms that look like that for objects and little pictures like that for morphisms. And you can put various topologies on it. There's the big Zariski site. Just a big Eitel site, and so on. Just so you are normally collecting together a bigger family of S schemes than you would over here. This is just Eitel maps, 50,000 maps, for example. And when I say big, I mean it somewhat pejoratively. I still want my underlying site to be a small category. So when I say big, there is a cardinality bound in play. So on a scheme, that would be a cardinality bound on the set of points in the scheme and also the size of all the rings and sections. Okay? So this is always lurking around. And you see later on in the homotopy theory that so long as the cardinal bound you're assuming is big enough, nothing changes when you vary it, essentially. Okay. So it's simplicial appreciation. On C, it's just a contragradient functor taking values in simplicial sets. Okay? Alternatively, it's a simplicial object appreciation. Okay, morphism. See, I haven't said anything about this apology yet. That comes in later when you try to describe the homotopy theory. Morphism of simplicial species is just a natural transformation. And the corresponding category, I'm going to write this way, this is the category of simplicial species on a fixed proton D-type tree. Now, sheaves are special types of precedes. Sheaves are types of precedes that specify certain exactness conditions. So, a simplicial sheaf is a contravariant functor taking values in simplicial sets such that all of the precedes of n simplices are sheaves. Okay, and a morphism of simplicial sheaves is just a natural transformation of functor still. So certainly, that's the notation we're going to use for simplicial sheaves that's contained in simplicial precedes. Because simplicial sheaves are just certain kinds of simplicial precedes, and there's a left adjoint to this conclusion. Then I call L2 because it amounts to putting in limits twice. And the classical notation for this is usually something like that. Okay, this is a notation in pattern algebraic geometry. Okay. I want to convince you that these things are bound in nature. Okay? In geometrically interesting ways. First of all, and I think I detected some trouble with this during one of the talks during the workshop, you start with a simplicial set. And there's an associated constant simplicial precede. And it's defined in sections just by taking X and all morphisms in the site and these identity maps. X, this is just X, and you're asking for that restriction homomorphism to the entity map. Now, so you're just letting, you know, you're just defining a functor by letting it be X everywhere, okay? And in fact, the situation is so indistinguishable from using X itself that I just use this notation. If X is a simplicial set, then the thing I'm calling X is a simplicial precedes constant. Simplicial precedes world is the associated simplicial precedes, or the constant simplicial precedes. All right. So any old thing at all gives you a constant simplicial precedes. You could take an Eilenberg-MacLane space, for example. That's a simplicial set, if you think about it right. And it has an associated constant simplicial precedes for it. And again, that's the notation I'm going to use, and we'll see later that there are cohomology theories associated with these things. And this thing in the homotopy category will represent mod n cohomology with coefficients in the sheaf associated A, not the sheaf, but constant pre-sheaf A. Now, certainly, I take an object in the underlying site, it represents pre-sheaf. Let me write it this way. Okay. And again, I'm going to not distinguish. Between the object and the pre-sheaf that it represents. So you'll see me writing this, and I mean the contravariant function it represents. So it's implicit objects in G, in C. And the usual example of some sort of simplicial scheme, a simplicial object in C represents a simplicial pre-sheaf. Whose sections at U, I'm sorry, I should be using B here, whose sections at an object B are the homomorphisms from B to X inside C. All right. So every simplicial object in the underlying site represents a simplicial pre-sheaf. Every simplicial scheme represents a simplicial pre-sheaf on any of the groups, on any of the geometric sites. All right. So here's a sub-example. Now this is somehow a different thing. And this pre-sheaves anything. There's pre-sheaves in sets, that's what we normally call pre-sheaves, but there's also pre-sheaves taking values in groups. They tend to be represented by group schemes. So let me just assume that A is a pre-sheaf in groups, okay? In other words, it's a functor, contravariant functor from C taking values in groups. Now, in sections, it looks like groups, right? Each section is a group, and you can classify that group. That's the notation I use for nerve, okay? And this defines, let me say it this way. We have a group here. You take the associated classifying space, and these are the U sections of the simplicial pre-sheaf that I'm calling B of A. Okay, so every pre-sheaf of groups has a classifying object in the category of simplicial pre-sheaf. So, for example, if G is an algebraic group, or a group scheme defined over some base, then it represents a pre-sheaf taking values in groups. This pre-sheaf, by the way, is often a sheaf. It depends on whether or not the geometric topology you're using is subcanonical or not. And you can form the associated classifying object. But this, of course, is represented, in this case, by a simplicial scheme. Which usually has the same name. So, for example, you can start with a general linear group. It's a nice algebraic geometric object. Okay. It represents a sheaf or pre-sheaf of groups in any of the geometric sites. And the corresponding classifying object is something some of us think about a lot. And it's represented by, well, yeah. So that's a simplicial pre-sheaf. Of course, CLN includes in GLN plus 1 and so on. And if you take the filtered colimit, you get that gadget, the classifying space of the infinite general linear group. Now, in a lot of examples, these are mostly simplicial schemes, or simplicial sheaves. But this is definitely not. It's a simplicial pre-sheaf usually, but this is the place where the descent questions start to appear. I'll say more about that later. And for descent questions, you really do want simplicial pre-sheaves. So early applications of the theory involve that thing. Now I should say that this is a gadget that K-theorists like to think about a lot. Okay. Numbering. I don't want to talk about 4 here. A pre-sheaf of groups is entitled to act on a pre-sheaf of sets. Sometimes. Let's just suppose we're in a situation where you have an action of a pre-sheaf of groups on a pre-sheaf of sets. Again, these things arise in geometry all the time. Now, of course, what that means is that in sections, you have honest to God group actions on sets, and these actions all fit together. All right? Now, when you have a group action on a set, let's write this way. The action of a group H on a set Y is a category around whose objects are the objects of X, objects of Y rather, and morphisms look like that. Okay, this is a so-called translation category for the group action. And then usually, this notation for it. Okay? You can classify that. The plane on groupoid, you can take its associated nerve. I always use B for nerve, okay? And this has a special name. Well, if you look and think about it for 2 minutes, you'll discover this is the so-called Virel construction for the action of the group H on the set Y. These things are in use everywhere. The construction is perfectly functorial. The construction of this category is functorial in group actions. And, of course, the taking the nerve is a functorial thing, too. So you're entitled to, first of all, in this context, a pre-sheaf of groupoids, okay, and an associated simplicial pre-sheaf that you get by classifying the thing, and on account of this, this is the Borel construction for the action of G on the pre-sheaf of sets. And of course, I hesitated because I thought maybe I was starting with the simplicial logic here, but same story. So this is the Borel construction, simplicial pre-sheaf. It's important that it's the nerve of a pre-sheaf of groupoids. This is somehow the source of all quotient stacks. in a way that I intend to make precise later. Okay. While we're on the subject of groupoids, I want to start with a local epimorphism of presheaves. If you don't like that, just think of this as a subjective function of sets. This is the local version of that. But what it means technically is, given a section somewhere, this section lists to Y after refinement by a cover. So there's a covering family for U, such as when you refine along all members of the covering, you see a lifting like that. Okay? That's what a local epimorphism is. If X and Y are sheaves, this is exactly what you mean by a sheaf epimorphism. Okay? All right. But think these are just subjective function sets for a minute. So let's do that. I claim there's a groupoid around, and I'm going to go into sections U. If you have any sort of function at all, there's a groupoid that this is a special case of. And the objects are elements of, I'm sorry, Y of U. And you say that there's a unique morphism from X to Y if and only if X and Y have the same image in X of U. Take the U off here and you got a perfectly good notion for sets, okay, or in functions of sets. And you're asking for a unique morphism there. You know, you're just collapsing by the relation in some sense. And so this is a perfectly good groupoid. It's functorial in U. So this is a presheaf of groupoids. And it has an associated classifying object. And how to say this? This is a description of the check resolution associated with cover. Okay. This is where check resolutions always come from, some construction like this. All right. And we'll see later that because this is a local epimorphism, this is a resolution of X in the sense that if you identify X with a constant simplicial presheaf, this is a weak equivalent, the local weak equivalent. Exercise. Pick your favorite geometric check construction wherever it comes up. View it as one of these. Okay. All right. Well, here's a kind of a sub-example of that. suppose I give you a finite Galois extension field. And I'm going to let G be the Galois group. That's a pretty good thing to think about. The corresponding map of schemes, K of course sits inside L, it induces a map backwards in schemes and takes the Zariski spectra. That is a covering morphism for the HL topology on the spec of K. Now, if you think about it, when you're constructing a check resolution, you're taking iterated fiber products, okay? And so the check resolution for this covering has morphism space, if you like, specified by this. Okay, it's represented by that. Of course, same thing, it's a spectrum of the tensor product of L with itself over K, and that product, just by Galois theory, or that tensor product is a product of copies of L indexed over the Galois group. And in scheme land, it's the same thing as a disjoint union of schemes, again indexed over the Galois group. And of course, you can iterate this, and let's use the notation I've been using. I should have put a key there. This is the check resolution associated to this cover, and this silly consideration here tells you that as a simplicial pre-sheaf on the HL site, the underlying field, which in fact isomorphic to the Borel construction for the action of the Galois group on spec of the bigger field. And that is actually the source of a lot of facts in Galois cohomology. One last example. Let's suppose that A is a pre-sheaf of abelian groups. Now I want to think of it as a pre-sheaf of chain complexes where you concentrate A in degree zero, so you're entitled to shift. And so what you have to think of this thing as is the pre-sheaf of chain complexes that consist of A concentrated in degree N. Okay, so it's a nice diagram of chain complexes. Well, there's simplicial abelian groups, and there's chain complexes which have no entries in negative degrees, and there's the Dole-Kahn correspondence. You can normalize the simplicial abelian groups, you get a chain complex out of the deal, and it has an adjoint equivalence defined by construction gamma, which is a little hard to describe. I'll just say this is the Dole-Kahn equivalence. This is an actual equivalence of categories relating simplicial abelian groups to chain complexes, and of course it induces an equivalence of categories between pre-sheaves taking values in simplicial abelian groups and pre-sheaves taking values in chain complexes. So you're entitled to take this thing, just like you would in simplicial homotopy theory, and apply this functor gamma. Okay? to pre-sheaf of simplicial abelian groups, hence a pre-sheaf of simplicial sets. And normally that. Okay, that's the normal notation. This is the standard classical construction of the Einberg-McLean space. And we'll see later on, this is quite general, so you can work over an arbitrary small growth big site. There will be this homotopy category that will erupt off the board. And so you can talk about morphisms in the homotopy category, taking values in this pre-sheaf of simplicial abelian groups. And there's a point to, one point simplicial pre-sheaf. And this is isomorphic to what everybody defines to be the cohomology of the underlying site, the nth cohomology of the underlying site, with values in the sheaf associated A. Okay, we'll see this later. So, in fact, this can be proved with sort of a half model structure. This is one of the early results that said the special pre-sheaves have something to do with cohomology of sheaves. And this, because it works for any arbitrary, for any Grothendieck site, that's telling you that all sheaf cohomology is homotopy theory one way or another. And I'll say more about that later. Okay. So how do you set up this homotopy theory? There's various controversies about what homotopy theory should be, but for me, they always involve closed model structures, okay? So, I need to give you a definition of weak equivalence that has something to do with the homotopy theory I'm going to describe. And what I'm going to define is weak equivalences that are defined locally. I call them local weak equivalences. There are several equivalent descriptions, and I'm going to show you some of them. Naively, simplicial sets have homotopy groups, right? The nth homotopy group of X, based at a vertex X, you can just define to be the nth homotopy group of the space that you get from X by realizing. You're still going to get an element in the space out of this vertex. You can talk about the homotopy group of the corresponding space based at that vertex. It's grand greater than or equal to 1. And, of course, it's a group if n is 1, it's a abelian group if n is greater than or equal to 2. Everybody knows that. The path components can be defined combinatorially for a simplicial set. You have a zero space and a first space from the one simple piece of the vertices, source and target. And you define the path components by this picture being co-equalized. Another way of saying that is that pi naught of x is defined by collapsing x naught by the relation that you see by making endpoints of one simple piece equal, okay? So, we have a combinatorially defined set of path components and these simplicial homotopy groups, and a map of simplicial sets is a weak equivalent. Well, there's various formulations of that, too. You can say the map is a weak equivalence if the corresponding map of CW complexes with the chain homotopy is rather a homotopy equivalence once you take realization. But this amounts to two things. First of all, that all induced maps in homotopy groups are isomorphisms. thing where you can construct them. And secondly, the induced map from path components of X, induced function from path components of X, path components of Y, subjection. Okay, so this is one of the definitions of what it means for a map of simplicial sets to be weak equivalent. It's a classical description. This is the way most people think of weak equivalence as simplicial sets. But there's also a base point free version. As you can take the anthropomorphic groups of a simplicial set, and it's going to be one of these for each vertex of the simplicial set, right? One of those for each vertex of a simplicial set. So you can crunch all these guys to point. Okay? So it's a good function. All right? And that's a description of a particular function which gives this gadget the structure of a group object over the set of vertices. Okay, you can do that for all n greater than or equal to 1. If n is 1, this will be just a group object. If n is greater than or equal to 2, it will be an abelian group object. And here's the second description of weak equivalences. It's just a question together what you mean by those statements. Map of simplicial sets is weak equivalence if, secondly, the induced map on path components is a bijection. But firstly, all these pictures are pullbacks. This is a base point free description of what it means for a map to be at weak equivalence, but base point free in a kind of a pejorative sense because you're keeping track of all of them in these particular maps. Okay? Since I first read about this in your letter to Grotendieck, Andre, where did this idea come from? You? This is, in fact, just the start of a story about base point free homotopy. Okay, you can talk about base point free lines, X sequences, prescriber sequences, and things like that, where you keep control, where you keep track of the fundamental groupoid action. But at the same time, this is the description that you can promote easily to the context of simplicial appreciation shapes. Let me just talk about simplicial pre-shapes. Here's a map of simplicial pre-shapes. I say it's a local weak equivalence if two things happen. Now I'm going to reverse the order because it's easier for me to think about them, right? First of all, this path component thing is a functor, so there's a path component pre-sheaf associated to a simplicial pre-sheaf X, But then you can take associated sheets of that versus the sheaf of past components associated with simplest retrieve sheet. Okay? That maps to the sheaf of past components associated with simplest retrieve sheet. Why? Because these constructions are perfectly natural. And you want this to be isomorphism of sheaf. Okay? In other words, the map and past components is a local isomorphism. And secondly, you're certainly entitled to pictures like this on the pre-sheaf level, because again, those constructions are natural. And now what you want is that when you take associated sheaves everywhere, you want this to be a pullback in sheaves. That's what we mean by a local weak equivalence, and that's really by far the slickest description of it, as far as I'm concerned. Now, something's obvious right away. Okay, if you have a map of simplest retrieve sheaves, which is a section-wise weak equivalent, in the sense that in all sections, you're seeing weak equivalences of simplicial sets. What I mean by a section-wise weak equivalence, okay? Then F is a local weak equivalence, okay? Why? Because the induced maps on pre-sheaves of fundamental groups, of past components, it's an isomorphism on the pre-sheaf level, so it's certainly going to be an isomorphism on the sheaf level. And if I take the twiddles off of that, because I got a weak equivalence in each section, when I take the twiddles off, I have a pullback diagram of pre-sheaves. Okay, so it's going to give a pullback diagram of sheaves. Okay. All right. And there's lots of other examples, and we'll meet them as we go along. I want to describe this a different way. In some sense, back in old days, this was Andre's description of local weak equivalence. I'm about to give you mine, okay? So, we have this underlying site, all right? And we have an object in C. Well, there's a slice category morphisms from objects in sight down to U. Those are the objects of the category. And morphisms in the category of little commutative triangles like that. And this is a site where the coverings are defined by coverings of total spaces. Okay? All right. And of course, you can forget U and just map to C, right? And a simplicial pre-sheaf on C restricts to a simplicial pre-sheaf on this gadget along this map. Let me write it this way. The restriction of X to U is this composite. You can do that for every object in the underlying site. This site has terminal objects. There's obvious global section functor. There's the terminal object. I evaluate x at u. Of course, this is just x of u. If I'm restricting down from c. And so every vertex of the simplicial set that you get by evaluating x at u is a vertex in this collection of global sections, in this simplicial set of global sections. So this vertex defines a global section over here. Okay? So you're entitled to talk about this pre-sheaf of homotopy groups on this restricted site. And of course, you can take the pre off by taking the associated sheaf. Okay, for this topology. Okay, so in other words, this picture here is a clean way of keeping track of all vertices at once, but if you want to go in and get your hands dirty, you have to start restricting a little bit and look at all possible local choices of vertex. And what you discover is that a map is a local weak equivalence in the sense I described there. If and only if, well, you're not going to get away from this. Associated map of sheaves of path components is an isomorphism. And secondly, when you look at induced maps on these restricted sheaves and homotopy groups at all local choices of base point, you get isomorphisms of sheaves. This is for all objects in the underlying site and all choices of vertex. In all sections. Okay? So a map of simplicial pre-sheaves is a weak equivalence if it induces isomorphisms in all possible local choices of homotopy groups. That's what's going on here. Now, of course, if you're looking at the open subsets of a topological space, the associated sheaf category has enough points. Meaning that there's a system of stocks around which basically reflects isomorphism. This is the way you're used to learning sheaf theory. And in a context like this, where you have enough points, for example, a map of simplicial pre-sheaves on this site is a weak equivalent, local weak equivalent, if and only if the induced map in stocks is a weak equivalent of simplicial sets for all x in space T. Okay? So local weak equivalence in context that makes sense, that you were trained in correspond to stoplight equivalences. And again, you can see it directly from that picture. All right. But the point is that, well, the point is that there usually aren't enough points, you know, in modern usage. There certainly aren't for topological spaces. There certainly is for the Zariski site, Eitel site, and this neighbor site. But if you get into something exotic like CDH, you get, okay, same with the flat site. So there has to be another trick that replaces this, and I'll get to it later. There's a few things I need. Too many things I need. Talking about local weak equivalences. Oh, here's an example. Take the associated sheaf map from the simplicial sheaf to its associated simplicial sheaf. This is a local weak equivalent. In fact, locally, if you take associated sheaves, it's an isomorphism. That's it. You're over. It's over. It's also a hypercover. Let me tell you what I mean by that. These days, say that a map of simplicial tree sheaves is a hypercover if and only if it has a certain local right lifting property. This is with respect to all inclusions and boundaries of simplices and simplices. When varies between 0 and up, if n is 0, the boundary is an empty set. So let me tell you what I mean by that. If I give you a picture a simplicial set that involves sections, evaluation of sections on F, or pi, I guess it's called. That's a perfectly good lifting problem for simplicial homotopy theory. I mean, can you find by the arrow making a diagram here? If you can, that means that map of simplicial sets is of trivial fibration, trivial time fibration. But we're not asking for that here. We're asking for solutions after refinement along a cover. So, this map is a hypercover. If given a picture like this, I can find a covering family of U such that after I refine along the covering family, I can find a lift. Okay. The other word for this in literature is local trivial fibration. If you think about what you're being asked for here, let me think about this. You're asking for the map from the pre-sheaf of n simplices of X to certain fiber product And that involves co-skeleton. Co-skeleton end is right edge, joint to skeleton end. You want this to be a local epimorphism for all n greater than or equal to 0. It's another way of saying that that's true, okay? And it's local epimorphism of pre-sheaves, as I described before. Okay. Now, if you're in a more traditional world, in algebraic geometry, for example, and you're looking at the old Art and Maser book, where they first started to talk about such things, this is the description they had of a hypercover between simplicial schemes. Okay? So, this description generalizes the Art and Maser description of a hypercover you get different names between simplicial schemes this is for the Atel topology. Okay, this is the modern way to think about these. All right, and they come up all over the place, and that's the first example up there, the associated sheaf map. Now I need something else. Well, it's not hard to convince you yourself. Here's another example. If you have a local epimorphism of simplicial pre-sheaves, then this check resolution associated to P maps to Y, thought of as a discrete simplicial pre-sheaf, discrete in the simplicial direction. And this is a hypercover. I told you it was a local weak equivalence, but it's a local weak equivalence because it's a hypercover, and I'll actually show you a way to see that. Okay, so I need something. This is Kanziak's infinity construction. It's a classical construction from simplicial homotopy theory. There used to be a debate about whether or not it was a good thing to use, but I think the debate's over. Okay. So, let me just give you a picture of how it's constructed. Go back to the dawn of time and talk about subcomplexes of a standard n-simplex, okay? This is what you call a polyhedral subcomplex, or a polyhedral simplicial set. Polyhedral because a simplex is completely determined by its vertices, so you're looking at simplicial complexes here. Let's look at the non-degenerate simplices of K. Okay, there's an order relation given by faces, iterated faces. So this is the poset simplices this face relation, i.e. if X is less than or equal to K, if X is an iterated face of Y, okay? And this has, it's a poset, so it's a category, so it has a classifying space. I'm just forgetting right now the name for this poset that's used in combinatorics, but it has a special name. Anyway, it's a classifying space. It's a poset. gadgets like this. This is also called a subdivision. Okay? And it's called a subdivision because the realization is homeomorphic to the barycentric subdivision of the realization of K. To see how that works, okay, let's just draw this two simplex on the board, okay? So, what are the non-degenerate syntheses here? Well, certainly there's the vertices, they're already labeled, okay? But there's also the edges. Let's label them by putting points in the middle of these two edges here, in the middle of these three edges. So this is the edge corresponding to that point. It's the edge given by looking at the numbers between 0 and 1. 1, 2, and of course 0, 2. Okay? And the moral is that this is a phase of this, this is a phase of this, or this is less than or equal to this, as is this, in this poset. And finally in the middle, you write down a point corresponding to the whole simplex, and of course there's relations. And I just set up the barycentric subdivision. I've set it up as a homeomorphic image of the so-called subdivision for the two simplex. Oh well, okay. All right. Here's a map, official set map, from the subdivision of K to K itself, and it's defined by last vertex. Okay, what's a simplex over here? It's an ascending string of non-degenerate syntheses inside K, okay? Each of those have vertices, and because K sits in scattered N simplex, you're talking about ascending subsets of sets of vertices. And the last vertex is the last element in each of those sets. So that gives you this implicit map. Okay. This construction is natural in ordinal number morphisms. So in particular, you get here the picture like this. Then, for a simplicial set X, there's a new simplicial set called EX of X, whose N simplices are the morphisms of simplicial sets from the various subdivisions to X. And the naturality of this means that well, precomposing with this gives you a natural map from X to this right adjoint of subdivision. That's what this is, okay, associated to X. And, of course, you can keep going. So you, I typically call this gamma. This is gamma star. Do it again. And again. And take the filtered colimit. And that's what's called the X infinity of X, repeated adjoints of subdivision. Okay. Now, the salient features of the construction. Things you care about. It's First of all, no matter what X you put in, when you do this construction on it, you get a con complex back. And that, in fact, is best proved with a good old simplicial approximation argument, okay, but I won't go into that here. And secondly, this is a little harder, but not too much. The natural map from X to the ZX infinity construction is a weak equivalent, natural weak equivalent to simplicial sets. Why do we care about this construction from a simplicial sheaves or pre-sheaves point of view? The EX of N is defined by mapping off a simple piece of subdivision. In other words, it's made up out of a finite iterated fiber product of some kind of simple sheaves of X itself. Okay? So this construction commutes with all inverse images of geometric morphisms. Okay, once you take associated sheaf, that's why you care. It's a nice combinatorial way of producing the pre-sheaf of time complexes. Okay, in a way that respects geometric morphisms. All right. So here's a lemma. Since I've described over here, all hypercovers are local weak equivalences. And the slick way to prove that is to actually use the X infinity construction to do it. So, let me just give an indication. Okay. If I start with a hypercover, simplicial pre-sheaves, and apply the X infinity construction, well, if P is a hypercover, it has the right lifting properties along inclusions of finite simplicial sets. Okay, that's another way of saying it. Okay, well, the subdivision preserves that. So if P is a hypercover, this map here is a hypercover too. Okay? And of course, these are section-wise weak equivalences. So in order to show that P is a local weak equivalence, it suffices to show this map P star, a hypercover between pre-sheaves and con complexes, is a local weak equivalence. But these are pre-sheaves and con complexes, so you can describe the homotopy groups combinatorially, and describing combinatorially and locally, and you can just play with that. You know that a map of con complexes, which has the right lifting property with all inclusions of boundaries of simplices and simplices, is an isomorphism in all possible combinatorial homotopy groups, and you just do that with lifting properties. And you can do that same argument locally and see that this is a local weak equivalence. And this is a local version of the argument, standard argument. It says that if P is a trivial fibration of con complexes, well, trivial fibration in the sense that it has that lifting property, then it induces an isomorphism in all possible homotopy groups, so it must be a weak equivalent. And the point is, you turn your problem into something involving pre-sheaves of con complexes and just work locally with things you know. That's kind of a standard sort of argument. Okay. Let me say what this model structure is, though. I want to think about it all the time. We go with this. Are the local equivalences? The co-vibrations. And the monomorphisms, which means injection in each degree in each section, okay? Monomorphisms of some push appreciates. Yes, there's nothing there. The weak equivalences are the thing that's making the local nature of this theory. And the vibrations are defined by a local lifting property, a right lifting property with respect to all maps which are simultaneously local weak equivalences and both vibrations. All these global vibrations. Some of my younger colleagues might want me to call them injective vibrations, but I call them global vibrations. And the reason for that is that this was the term that was introduced by Brown and Gersten back in the dawn of time when they first started talking about these things for his risky topology. Okay? And there was a model structure there too, which this generalizes. The theorem is, you've got these definitions. Categories and push appreciates. That's the structure. Any proper closed simplicial model category. And of course, I have to define some of the terms. What's the simplicial model category? Well, it implies the existence of a function space, okay? That's based on that. If you have simplicial species X and Y, associated simplicial set, call it function space. And the n simplices of that are maps from X cross constant gadget associated to a standard n simplex into Y. And of course, the ordinal number maps are just inducing the simplicial structure here. Okay. A function space and take values in simplicial sets. So if X is a simplicial pre-sheaf and K is a simplicial set, this tensor product, if you like, is just the product of X with the constant gadget associated to K. Okay, that's the way it works here. And this sets up the simplicial model structure. Depends on its properness. Well, that means two things. If you have a global vibration, and a local weak equivalence, and form the pullback, as you can always do in simplicial precedes, because you can form any limit and co-limit you like, then that means that this induced map from the pullback to X is a local weak equivalence. This is so-called right properness. You also have left properness here. It means that push out the weak equivalences along co-vibrations gives you weak equivalences back. So the second statement is that weak equivalences are closed. You push out along co-vibrations. Well, ultimately, these things are both true, but because they're true in simplicial sets, and this is the harder of the two. And it's related to the fact that there's the hard part proof of that result is one of the factorization axioms. We want to show that any map of simplicial precedes can be factored as a trivial co-vibration followed by a vibration. Okay. For that, you need to show that pushouts of trivial cofibrations are trivial cofibrations. And for that, you need two things. One of them is so-called Boolean localization. Well, that's for this in particular, okay? And secondly, to finish off the argument for the factorization axiom, you need to prove a so-called bounded cofibration condition. Say what that is another time. Boolean localization is amounts to stockwise argument where you have kind of a fat point that's defined by sheaves on a complete Boolean algebra. Okay? There's a fully faithful embedding there that's given by inverse image. And that's a theorem of Dietkinesky's Barter and a lot of other people. Okay? But it's the real trick from Topos theory that's used here. This, I can say what it is quickly. You won't like it. Okay? That gives you a monomorphism, and I know it's a local weak equivalence. And I have a subobject of Y whose sets of sections in all degrees are bounded by some high enough cardinal. So we say this is alpha bounded. Where alpha is a cardinal which is bigger, for example, than the size of the morphism set of the underlying set. You need smallness here. Then, given that setup, you can find a subobject of Y which contains A, which is also alpha bounded. Such that the induced map from this intersection to G is a local weak equivalence. Okay. That you can prove by fooling around with relative homotopy groups for a sufficient length of time, or sheaves of relative homotopy groups for a sufficient length of time. And this is the thing. It gives you a set of generating trivial pulse vibrations for this closed model structure, ultimately. And in particular, this closed model structure is cofibrinally generated. Okay. If there's a clamor for me to explain details, I will. I'm writing notes here, and there's more detail there. I've also dragged various students and postdocs at my place to release proofs more than once, and there's online lecture notes on my webpage. Okay. Now, one of the morals of this game is anything that you can do for simplicial pre-sheaves, you can do for simplicial sheaves, and conversely. Okay? This is essentially saying closed model structure, but for simplicial sheaves, and it appeared in Andre's letter to Grothendieck in the early 80s. Stage well. So we're talking about sheaves now, simplicial objects and growing big topos, or simplicial sheaves. Okay, and it's the same definitions, really. A map of simplicial sheaves is a cofibration if and only if it's a monomorphism. The way I've defined it, a map of simplicial sheaves is a local weak equivalence if and only if it's a local weak equivalence of simplicial pre-sheaves. Let me say it this way. It's a weak equivalence for this theory if and only if it's a local weak equivalence as a map of simplicial pre-sheaves. Okay. And vibrations, the global vibrations, are defined by a right lifting property. Theorem with these definitions, one part of it anyway, with these definitions, the category is simplicial sheaves on site C. The structure of a proper closed simplicial model category. And secondly, of course, there's the associated sheaf functor. From simplicial sheaves to simplicial pre-sheaves to simplicial sheaves, and there's a forgetful functor. And things are so defined that this sets up equivalent equivalence. And a lot of that is the observation that the associated sheaf map is a hypercover. This you can get out of the simplicial pre-sheaf theorem with a stupid little argument. And conversely, the point is you have to do the work somewhere. You can either do it in simplicial sheaves or simplicial pre-sheaves, but this just drops out once you do. In some sense, that's all the work there is in constructing model categories for simplicial sheaves and pre-sheaves. Let me say what I mean by that. I mean, it's false, right? Let me say what I mean. The simplicial pre-sheaf is just a diagram of simplicial sets, okay? Without any topology there. Well, in fact, there's a topology there. It's called the chaotic topology. The covering families all have the identity in them, okay? So simplicial pre-sheaves are simplicial sheaves of that topology. And of course, there's a model structure there where the co-type configurations are just monomorphisms. The weak equivalences are section-wise weak equivalences in the vibrations defined by a lifting property. Okay? And that's an old thing, too, due to Hiller. Okay. But there's also this Bosco-Kahn structure. On diagrams of simplicial sets, it says that a map diagrams like this is either a weak equivalence respectively with vibration. If and only if it's a weak equivalence respectively with vibration in all sections. It's kind of this kind of a dual structure of the structure we've been talking about before now. And so in this case, the co-fibrations are defined by a lifting property. This is with respect to trivial vibrations. And in fact, there's a generating family. You could take the pre-sheaf represented by an object of the underlying site, just the pre-sheaf. Think of it as a simplicial pre-sheaf by doing the obvious thing. And you take the product of that with the simplicial set, that's a simplicial pre-sheaf again. And the induced map is like that, and these are the generating co-fibrations through this theory of Bosco and Kahn. These are so-called projective co-fibrations. Okay, and these are standard examples. Okay, so this is the projective model structure. Okay. So you could take a generating family of co-fibrations like that. Let me take any set containing, you know, any set of co-fibrations. Yeah. I was about to quit, actually. Okay. Just let me get one final thing on the board. Okay. Now, take a co-fibration living in here and consider just the co-fibrations like that, and let these generate a class of co-fibrations in the sense that you form the saturation. No, this isn't. It isn't. Okay. The point is that this is a list of co-fibrations somewhere between this and the generating co-fibrations for in the traditional structure, okay? And you say that Matheson push appreciation now is an S vibration if it has the right lifting property with respect to all these guys. Okay. Weak equivalences or local weak equivalences? And out of that, you get more model structures for simplicial precedes. It's called an intermediate model structure because it has more cofibrations than these projected cofibrations, but fewer fibrations than the class of all cofibrations, okay? It has the same weak equivalences. If you know how to work the solution set condition to some reasonable facsimile of it, you can see that the model structure is cofibrantly generated. And the point is that, well, one example of this is the local projective structure of Ben Blander. Okay, it appeared in the thesis under Peter May. But there's always model structures between the local projective structure and the original original model structure for simplicial sheaves or pre-sheaves. They're called intermediate model structures, an absolute plethora of them. One for each one of these sets, yes. And people are actually using these intermediate model structures, particularly in analytic geometry. And my former colleague is actively using these things to try to think about this Gromov's approach to the so-called Oka principle, which is the assertion that a map between analytic spaces should have only topological objections in some sense. But I can't be more precise about that. So this is to study. So-called Oka principle. And these things have started to see some use in algebraic K theory as well. Okay, so I'll stop there. Many model structures.
And using the set, you redefine a new set of
vibrations. Yeah. I mean, yes, in fact, because a vibration is a map which has the right lifting property perspective. One of these co-vibrations, which is also a local weak equivalent.
And which is also a local weak equivalent.
Yeah.
So it combines the synthetic aspect with the projective model.
Yes. And it's in between, too.
Okay.
Yeah. And, in fact, if you know what you're doing with model structures, and you already have the model structure for simplicial precedes in hand, this is dead easy to prove. Okay? So it's just an observation. Same time tomorrow? I'm writing some.
Okay.
But there's a sort of volume online in my webpage.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we to cover these intermediate model structures that work with
weather?
Really?
Well, you know, it's you know, I haven't met any